Welcome to Rad Chat. I'm your host, Brandy Lynn, and today my super special guest is James, who works at a record label and is the founder of his own booking agency. And I'm super excited to get in all this because it's all music related, which I love. So thank you so much for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's good
Coming.
to be here.
It's been so long, I feel like literally so long.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be over 5 years at least.
Yeah, so
At
it's so
least.
just I always like to start off like how we know each other. So we like connected on Facebook like years ago, like just mutually in the same music genre. I want to say Mayday Parade. It was like a Mayday Parade
I
concert.
was just gonna throw that out there, actually. Yeah, it was definitely Mayday Parade because I used to go to like every show that they would play at Starland.
Yeah, and so I feel like we like met at a con or we're at the same concerts and photo tagged and super funny. So yeah, always we're like on Facebook talking, and then over time, shit happens, life happens. But I'm happy to know that like we reconnected.
Yeah, for sure.
So thank you so much for coming. And your story is so crazy because you're in bands and record labels and your own agency. So let's just kind of start at the very beginning of like how you got into all this.
Sure, yeah. I mean, I started playing guitar and bass when I was like 11 years old. I started playing shows when I was 12. Took being in a band pretty seriously for a young kid. By high school, I was playing shows with a band from, my high school friends. And then by sophomore year, I started touring with a pop punk band. And then by junior year, I started a different band called American Lions, and we were a band for 7 years. We did a couple albums and releases, we did some touring, and now I've been in Man Dancing since 2019.
That's awesome. How was the like transition between like your first band and then like being on stage for the first time? How was that all for you?
I mean, my first show ever, I was completely nervous. I was only 12 and we played covers and we were very bad. So I just kind of embraced it, I guess. Like I wasn't super self-aware, so I didn't really know how bad we were. So I mean, I don't know. It was just one of those things where you like keep your head down and you just like never stop. And then you kind of look up 10, 15 years later and you're like, wow, I haven't been not in a band since I was 12 years old, which is 13 years ago.
Yeah,
So
that's crazy.
yeah, it's weird because it just becomes like part of your life, and like you don't like yeah, you sacrifice a lot of relationships and like time and like personal time and money and just a lot of there's a lot of sacrifice, but you don't really like think about it when you look back because it's like it just feels right.
Yeah. So when you were first starting your band at like such a young age, did your family really support you? Did your friends support you?
Yeah. I think my family was supportive. I know, my dad bought me my first bass or my first guitar, and like my parents wanted to go to my shows when I was like 12 and stuff, and they were always super supportive. And they still are, I mean, to a lesser extent now that I'm literally 25 and like I'm not here to, my intentions with the band is not for fame. It's for like the opportunity to make records and go on tour and meet bands and other people and just see the world. So it's not really about like that kid dream where you're like, I want to be a rock star. Like I don't care about that. You know what I mean? Like I'm just here to make music and enjoy what being in a band is.
That's awesome. I think that's really cool because it kind of just shows that you're genuinely passionate about music. Whereas, like, there is a lot of people out there that are like, I'm just trying to be a rock star. And I think that's super cool that you're like, I don't really care
Thanks.
about that. It's just, I want to play music, which I feel like is very old school, like, rocker soul, you know?
Cool, right?
Yeah. So have all your bands been pop punk?
No, that kind of died out for me when I was like 17. Kind of faded it. I mean, I'll keep it general just by saying I went more towards like the indie rock alternative world. I listen to a lot of pop music. I listen to a lot of, I have a lot of random influences that you wouldn't expect, but in terms of like music that like I'm a part of, it seems to be going over the years like in just more of like a alternative rock direction.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who were some of your like early mentors or inspirations?
I definitely, I mean, I always say Fall Out Boy. That's like a big one for me. Like they were like the band that did it for me when I was a kid. That got me like playing an instrument, like interested in being in a band and stuff. But other, you know, other influences like Stevie Wonder and like U2, you know, my parents are big on that stuff. Aretha Franklin and like James Taylor and, you know, all these like, you know, older things, you know.
Nice. So while, because obviously you said you're 25 currently, but you started your band, you were 12. So how is it to be in bands as you're in school? And then if you did or go to college, I don't know yet, but how was it to really manage all of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been a lot on my plate. Ever since I started working, I have usually been working like two or three jobs on top of like going to school and like being in a band. And, you know, going back to the whole sacrifice thing, it's like you are either sacrificing sleep or something else in your life to be able to, excuse me, like keep this a priority, you know. You got to have like true dedication and chemistry within the whole group for anything to happen, you know?
Yeah. Do you feel like over the time you've maintained good relationships with all of the previous bands, current bands, how do you guys manage being a band?
Yeah. I mean, I've been in so many bands now, but I'm pretty much friends with almost all of the people that I was in bands with in the past. I think, like when you're mature enough to know, like when a band is ending, that it's not necessarily about, you know, one person or two people being bad people or something like that. It's just that your visions didn't align and that you're better in a different creative environment with other people who might complement you better or suit you better for that.
I think that's a good point, because I think the assumption when bands end that there's drama or something hates someone. So that's cool that you've touched on. It's just sometimes, most of the time, probably just visions or creative differences in that aspect and not drama of the group.
Right. Exactly.
Nice. So did you know you always wanted to start your own booking agency? Did you go to college for that? Did you, like, how did that come about?
Sure. So like I said, I started like DIY touring when I was 16 with that pop punk band, and they were kind of doing it all themselves. And I was like the young guy, not really like sure how it all worked and stuff. And we were traveling all the way down to Florida and stuff. And by the time I was starting my next band, me and my drummer were doing it together, just kind of figuring it out, like where like the routes that bands go and like the places, the cool places to play, all that kind of stuff. And I really liked it. I don't know, I was just drawn to it from then on. And I started to just handle all of our booking for a little while. And maybe like 5 or 6 years later, I started, you know, after just self-booking, started like booking some smaller DIY tours for like bands I was friends with or bands that I had played with or really supported or something like that. And then I kept getting more and more people to like hit me up to book them a tour. And I was like, okay, well, maybe I can turn this into something, like if there's like a demand for it. And, you know, I've always been influenced by like some, like just the bands that I grew up listening to when I was 16 or 17, and like seeing like a poster like that, like, and then you see all the dates and the cities and you're like, how the hell do they, you know, how did they put this together? You know what I mean? And then you figure out like there's a booking agency and there's a booking agent, and then, you know, it goes so deep from there. But I was just really, really fascinated with like how like you're supposed to organize like all these different shows. And if you can, like, I don't know, touring is just such like a dream to kids in bands. So it's like, if you can make a tour happen, then why wouldn't you do it, you know?
Yeah. How, for people that just don't understand, like, I mean, I was a kid that went to concerts, like, I'm not musically talented, but I wanted to be musically talented.
Sure.
The kid at the concert, like every concert, right? But for someone like me, or just general people that don't understand the industry side of it, what really goes into booking? Like, what's like, run us through like your process of it, and, you know,
sure,
however detailed you want, but.
Gotcha. So a lot of it is like, well, one, finding out like what kind of band it is, you know, what their draw is like, what the target audience is like, where they've played before. If it's like a newer band, or I mean, really any band, it's like you just have to figure out when the full band is available to tour, and then start figuring out like the cities that they want to hit, what makes sense driving wise. Like, are they supporting a release with the tour? Are they supporting like some kind of content with a tour? Like, why are they, you know, what's the reason to be on tour? You know, there's a lot of different, there's so many variables, you know, but really a lot of it is like, it's a lot of email. It's all email. So I'm just emailing talent buyers and promoters in different cities and states all over the country, at the venues that I target. And I'm trying to set up a good show for each day of tour for every band that I'm working for. So, you know, solid local support, you know, making sure all the details are there, making sure the band isn't driving over a million hours every night, you know, just making it all make sense is pretty much my job.
Nice. Do you feel like, was it something that came pretty natural just being in that industry already? Or did you feel like you really had to like put a lot of work into doing it?
I definitely both. Like, it's been the most natural thing I've ever probably done in life, but it is a lot of work, and it has been a lot of work. And I've been, you know, I have the foundation of like, so I ran house shows in New Brunswick with my friends for like 5-6 years. And like, I made a lot of good touring connections that way, met a lot of bands from around the country, you know, kind of was doing it already myself with my band. And, you know, it just like, it just kind of happened, you know. I was just kind of just doing it. I don't know. I just haven't looked back.
Yeah, that's cool though, because it's just so, I think it's so interesting when things like that align for people. Like, wow, like you maybe never thought that would be the path you went on, but then all of a sudden it's here. And like you said, like you don't even, it's what happened. Like, yeah. That's really awesome, because I feel like those situations, it was like meant to be. Like, you were put in that position, and then like look where you are now. That's really cool.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely like, it's still at a very, very early stage, you know. It's not like I, you know, have huge bands or anything like that, but we've come a long way in, you know, just about 2 years as an agency. And it's been really cool to build a team, build a roster, and like actually make real shows happen in the world and put bands, you know. I had a band called Old Soul from the Boston area, and they did a full US right before COVID. You know, they had a blast, and it's so cool that I can, you know, create that experience for another band.
Yeah, that's super dope, because you feel like, I mean, I feel like I've heard like other friends I've known in bands like, oh man, this just went like, this route was messed up, or we went the wrong way and we didn't have anyone to help us. So that's, you do have to route a lot of different things. So that's
a lot of Google Maps. Yeah.
So that's cool when you have feedback, especially like, oh my God, this was the greatest tour. Like, that must feel so amazing, because you know all that nitty gritty work that went into
there. And we make sure like all the venues that we're putting our bands at are like safe, inclusive spaces. And like, you know, we're not playing at some like biker bar to like two people in their 60s. Like, everything is like very specific. And, you know, we put a lot of time and effort into making sure that our shows are good shows.
That's awesome. And I feel like also you being in bands really young probably also helped know what venues, because you probably know like, oh, not this venue.
The venues have changed a lot over the last 10 years, like since I started touring, but there are still a couple remaining that I played many years ago that I could still book at now, which is cool.
Oh, that's cool. I think that's, you know, it's funny. I didn't really ever think venues change, because you think like the staples, like Starland Ballroom is always Starland Ballroom, or like PNC is always PNC. But those little venues I went to when I was growing up, like VFW halls or like Crazy Donkey in New York, or like any of those, a lot of people say that the scene has completely changed over the years, and it like breaks my heart.
Yeah, trust me, I've lived through it. We you have like no venues left in New Jersey. It's terrible.
It's so crazy. How do you, like, as a band and then also as a booking agent, how do you navigate that?
Well, I have, thankfully, I have a team of people who work with me at Pathfinder who are all awesome. And right now they're helping me like reach out to venues all across the country just to see who's open and who's like coming back from COVID and like who's, you know, comfortable taking shows and when. And, you know, like I'm working on a couple tours right now for November and December, but nice. I'm hoping they can happen. You know what I mean? Like if the world allows them to and it's safe, yeah, they'll happen. If it's not safe, of course they won't happen. You know?
Yeah, that's another good point. Like one, the scene in general just changed over the years, but then COVID hit, which is like the worst for the music industry. So it's like, my God.
Yeah, I was running a recording studio before COVID hit, and I had to shut it down for 6 months before anything happened. It was kind of a meltdown.
That's crazy. And that's like, I'm so sorry to hear that.
It's right. So yeah, sad. It's life hit, you know, everybody got wrecked.
So. Like who would have ever thought the music industry would just be put on hold a complete year?
Right.
Like, yeah, you could make music, but you're not like being in the same place with them. And
the lack of engagement is like the biggest
problem. Yeah, because I feel like perception is, yeah, like, you know, most common a lead singer writes his music and etc. But the collection of everyone putting in their pieces to those songs and the melodies, etc. To be together.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, music is about being together and being with people and connecting with people and stuff like that. But you know, we had to find other ways to engage and, you know, do things without, you know, with the lack of live music and everything. You know, which kind of led me to that streaming app that I'm working for right now. It's like a whole live streaming app, kind of like a Twitch or Patreon, but built for musicians.
Nice.
And it caught my attention, and I ended up working for them. But it's you know, it's been a digital age for sure, and you know, bands are doing live streams, they're doing more videos, they're doing more recording or writing or whatever it is. But you know, without shows, like a lot of people's souls, including mine, have been quite empty, you know.
Yeah, even like me who attends it, like it's like the depression of not
going
to the concert. Like I feel like that was the only thing that got me through life. Like life really hit me hard.
Sure. Yeah,
you always had music and concerts to count on, and then when it gets completely ripped under you, and then you think all the mental health of people that are in the band, work for the band, the stage, like it all trickles down to so many levels. Like
so many jobs were lost.
It's crazy how many jobs there really is in the music industry that you don't necessarily think of right away. Like, you know, like
the unsung heroes, you know?
Yeah, like that's why I think it's so interesting. Like you're on the licensing part, and you're doing the booking part, and then you're also in, like you're part of so many different aspects that it's really, really interesting and super cool that you are a part of all those things.
Thanks.
And we should say that your booking agency is called Pathfinder, you said?
Yeah, it's Pathfinder Booking USA.
Perfect. So if anyone's interested, hit you up.
Yeah.
So then you did touch on that you started getting into your other part of your job, your other job. You have multiple jobs. Do you want to talk a little bit more into that?
I guess there's not too much to say about that one. I just started working there about a month or two ago, and I'm doing artist relations. It's like a lot of indie rock artist acquisition. So whether they're independent artists or signed to an indie label, we're looking to like partner up with some artists to do some live streaming content and stuff. And it's this new platform, like I said, that's built around fan engagement. And, you know, it's just like, you know, there's a chat window and you can donate and all, you know, subscribe, all that kind of stuff. But the stream payout is 1 cent per stream and 2 cents per live stream. So it's actually the highest in the industry. And that's why it caught my attention, because I was like, okay, well, if 10,000 streams is $100, imagine, you know, on Spotify, 10,000 streams is probably like a dollar or something like that. Like, I don't even know. But like the price difference is a joke. So I'm hoping that, you know, this app can do well so that artists can make some more money out of their streaming, you know.
What is the app called?
It's called Trubify. Trubify.
We'll like tag it here for people.
Yeah, yeah. But it's a really cool company, and you should definitely check it out.
That's cool because you're right. Like, there's so many different like platforms of different payouts. Like, I know YouTube is different than Twitch, and like Twitch, I think, is way better payout than YouTube sometimes. And so that's interesting. Like, Spotify is probably super different.
Right. Right.
And we all notoriously know that musicians are very underpaid.
And that's like, what this whole company is like for. You know what I mean? That's what it was literally built for.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's like, do you think it's more like, obviously your career path really just is in sync with your interests of passion. But do you think that it makes working very easy for you because you're working towards the goal of just like, I love music. I play music. Now I'm helping artists and musicians as well.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely both. You know, it's always a passion project, but at the same time, like, I'm doing a lot between like four main like priorities, really. And I don't spread myself too thin because I want to be able to do a good job at what I do. But it is a lot of work, you know. And I, you know, at this point right now, which I'm thankful for, I'm busy enough doing all this music work where I go home at the end of the day and I'm tired and I feel like I got a lot done that day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And then you also, so the app is separate from the record label, correct?
Oh yeah, everything is separate, yeah.
Okay, so then how did you get involved with working with the record label?
So I've known about, so the record label is called No Hope Records. Okay. It's K-N-O-W, so like No Hope Records. And I was aware of them because a good, some good friends of mine put a record out on that label a couple of years ago, and then another band that I had toured with called String Machine put a record out on that same label, and I ended up meeting the label owner the night after we played the Philly show, because that's where they were based. We were all hanging out at the house, and we just met casually and everything, and then about in like September or October, I reached out and I was just like, hey, like, you know, I'm really interested in like, you know, diving into the record label world. You know, do you need any help? You know, you're looking to add anybody to the team? And I don't know if they were hiring or not, but they, you know, they brought me in. So
that's awesome. You know, so yeah. How is the experience of just working on a record label? Like, is it kind of what you assumed it might have been like? Is it completely different than your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty spot on because I just like was already aware of like what record labels do and everything. But I love it. Like, the people I work with are awesome. Like Sean, Ryan, Connor, and Emily. Like, we have a really great team.
Shout out.
They're all really great. The bands that they have on the label signed are really awesome. There's a lot of really good albums that we're putting out this year between May and December that I'm really excited about that I've been working behind the scenes on. And, you know, what I mean by like working on is like, so I'm not the one recording it or anything like that. I'm not an engineer or anything. That's like not really a part of the record label. So I'm basically doing project management. So anything that the label owner or manager needs to have done for each album, and like I just do. So like we'll set up timelines and figure out PR and like a whole team and, you know, the merch and what kind of videos they're doing and what kind of live streams they're doing and just every single thing that the band is going to do and when. So doing that with like 12 different albums and bands over a span of like, I don't know, 8 months, 9 months.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot, but it's great. We love it.
How do you are you a list maker? Do you have like certain calendars you go by? Like, how do you keep all that organized?
So I'm a spreadsheet warlord. Excel? Use Google Drive, Excel for everything. On a daily basis, I keep 3 or 4 email addresses open and about 2 or 3 spreadsheets open at all times. And I have I make my own schedule. So I have like a personal schedule that I just make. I don't use a calendar. I just write it all in the notes app. Like, I write in each day and then all like the hour times of the day, like 9 through 6 or whatever. And I just like, you know, schedule things in or just like do, you know, do tour booking when I don't have any calls or meetings or whatever.
That's funny because I'm also like a spreadsheet Excel person. Like to have it all organized and like
It's my whole life. It's all colored and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I actually just heard about this thing called Airtable that I've been using, and it's actually really cool too. Look into that one. You can like color it, color cords it, and it's super cool.
Airtable.
But yeah, that's pretty cool that like I feel like doing all those different jobs, if you were an organized person, you like would not be able to handle all that.
I'd be a mess, yeah.
So you kind of touched on it earlier. You have to make a lot of sacrifices to be doing all of this. You know, with your comfortability level, how does this affect your personal life? Like, obviously, work is so important. It's your career and then your passion of being in the band as well. How do you manage a personal life?
Well, it is definitely tough. I mean, I've sacrificed like missing events or like time with family or time with, you know, like a girlfriend or something like that. You know, definitely sacrificed a lot of income, a lot of time, you know, just a lot of everything just to, you know, not, you know, give up on the passion, I guess. You know, just it really is just a lot of everything. It's hard to even describe like what the sacrifice is.
Do you feel like the rationale is just because it's you're so passionate for this that it's all worth it in the end?
I definitely rationalize it by my confidence and determination. Like, I just have always had that feeling like I'll be working in this industry in some way, like, forever. And, like, I just know that deep down. And at this point in life, like, there's no point in me even trying to, like, get a regular job or, you know, anything like that. It's just, like, I don't know. I just know already.
Yeah, see, that's cool. I like when people like, have that drive and passion that they just, I feel like that's a very, like, I don't know, like, if you, like, are into David Goggins or anything, but he's just, like, you really just keep going through. If you really want something, you don't stop to get it, right?
Exactly.
So it's, like, that's cool that you just already know in yourself, and then everything will just fall into place. So, like, yeah, maybe you missed a family event or you can't go to the movies, but your goal in life is so much larger than that. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's, like, it, like I said, it's not about the fame, but it's about, like, you know, it's, like, I pick and choose my sacrifices, you know? Like, I know, like, what's what's important and, like, what's not, I guess.
Yeah.
Not to say that those things aren't important.
Yeah, that's true. And then it seems like, it seems just from what you're saying, you're pretty much working from home. Was that always the case, or is that a COVID case?
just COVID. I was working in a recording studio, and then COVID hit, closed it for 6 months, and then I left in November, and then by December, I was working for the label and starting up Pathfinder again. And now I work in an office down in like a town that's like 30 minutes from me, and I just work all my jobs out of here.
Oh, okay, nice. So I was like wondering if, you know, in retrospect, obviously nothing's good from COVID, but at least like you were still able to work. Like it didn't stop you from keeping work because you have a computer and you have your phone.
Oh, I mean, I was out of work for a long time. I didn't work from like mid-March to basically the end of the year, like November.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry.
It's, I mean, it was an unwanted extended vacation, but what are you going to do? Yeah. You know, we bounce back.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, you do bounce back.
Yeah.
So, in that time, like, that must have been so hard. Like, for someone who's so busy, and you kind of, it seems like you like to be that busy. How was that time frame for you?
Awful. I'll be totally honest. Yeah, I'm not even going to get into it. But I had a very tough time, you know, being, like, having no distraction from anxiety, I guess. Just because I was never home. I was working, you know, from morning till night, 7 days a week, just always doing something. Even if I wasn't working, I was like out doing something or just hanging out at the studio because, you know, that's just where I was and where my friends were. And, you know, when I had to literally stop doing absolutely everything and just sit inside all day for months, you know, I kind of lost my shit. It wasn't great, but yeah, feeling a lot better now. That's for
that's
sure.
Good. I know. I mean, obviously different circumstances, but like I feel like everything I loved to do, like, it gets taken away. Like, can't go to concerts, can't go to Disneyland, I can't go to the movie theater, and like those are like the only things in my life I did. And so what do you do? And
yeah,
so,
yeah, it sucks. I got into video games. I didn't know what else to do. I started playing video games like every day.
Hey, there's a lot of there's a whole market for that.
My whole social life was on Xbox.
What games?
I just talked
did
to my
play?
Friends that way. I was into like Apex Legends and like Minecraft and just a couple others. Grand Theft Auto, you know, the usual.
Nice. I know. I've heard there's like this big like resurgence of Grand Theft Auto, like randomly.
Really? Oh, I didn't even hear about that. I'm very out of the loop. I was just like something to do during
to
quarantine,
do, yeah.
You know.
So, I mean, thank you for sharing. I mean, I'm so sorry you went through that. I'm so glad you're not in that anymore. And, you know, obviously it was obviously super hard on yourself, physically, mentally, everything, financially too. How did you feel like, what was like some things that you did to try to help yourself like get through that time? And then how did you bounce back? Like, we all know you bounced back and you're kicking now, but obviously that time, it's hard. Like you said, you got into video games. Did you, you know, try to still hang out with your friends? Like, obviously,
I mean, when it was safe, like you know, my band didn't get together for a long time, and then we started to, you know, safely get together and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, one thing that helped was definitely therapy for sure. Like, I recommend to all men to go to therapy.
I recommend as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and anyone, that goes for anyone, but especially men, go to therapy because it's sick. It's not as scary as you think it is. And, I don't know, I guess like I was down for so many months that like, I just kind of had like a self turnaround where I was like, okay, I'm tired of feeling this way. It's time to, you know, get back at it. And, you know, then I started managing bands back in December. So
nice.
I've been doing that for like about 5 months now.
And that was probably like real, like you were able to then take on a big responsibility that I'm sure helped as well. And then you're involved with different people. And like you said, the engagement part comes back a little bit, even if it's just, you know, engaging over the phone, or you're still kind of, I think that was a big part for me too. I'm like half extrovert and half introvert, so the extrovert part of myself was dying, and it was like no one really understood if they weren't extrovert.
I get that.
And it's funny because there was like a meme that went around, and it was like, check on your extroverted friends, and I'm like, well, I'm half, does that mean check on me too? So I think that's cool that you did touch. And I also think it's really respectable that you like are open to like, hey, like go to therapy. Like there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. It should be normalized, you know?
Yeah. I love that. Do you think that managing bands fulfills you in a sense that like you didn't think could be possible?
Yeah, kind of. It's really cool to have a hand in somebody else's like creative project and like be kind of like an advisor or like just somebody to turn to when there's a question or like somebody needs an opinion or, you know, just helping them plan out what they're doing. A lot of what I do with my bands is like I said, like with the label too, is like helping them plan out what content to make, when it's going to come out, who we want to work with for this and that, artwork and PR and, you know, all these things. And, you know,
Yeah, that's cool, because I think it's just so like, oh my God, like what a world to be in too. Like, do you think it's also a little scary to this is kind of a two questioner. Is it kind of scary, one, to put in your opinions or creative, you know, influence when you could be having that for your band? And then do you think that it's a little scary giving your opinion where maybe the band you're trying to advise is not feeling it? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. Well, for one thing, I definitely don't have any hand in their actual songwriting. Okay. So if I'm managing a band, like I'm managing you because like I like the songs that you make on your own, you know? Wait, can you kind of like repeat the latter?
Yeah, because I feel like managing the band, there's so many aspects, right, that you're helping like a manager or advise or steer in a direction. Do you think it's a little scary sometimes when you have to give that feedback and like how it's going to be perceived by the band?
Oh, no, I don't think so, because like I know that they trust me to be honest and open, and same thing with them, you know? And like they're always free to not take my advice, you know? And like I always stress that, like, hey, this is what I recommend, but you do what you want to do. You know what I mean? And we always talk it out. And like it's I get pretty close with, or you know, tend to have a close relationship with somebody that I'm managing.
Oh, awesome. That's cool. So it's not awkward for you to like
No.
give feedback.
Yeah, it's super chill.
That's cool. And I guess my second question was, it's obvious that your skills and your other careers help you in your bands because you can just take those skills with you. But does your band sometimes feel like, I don't know, do you ever have that conversation where maybe like they don't want that advice from you, or they're also super like, give us all you have?
Yeah, I mean they're kind of like that. They're super supportive. You know, when I joined Man Dancing, like I, you know, made us a website, and you know, I kind of help out on the management side of things with our manager Elliot, and I do all the tour booking because Man Dancing's on Pathfinder. And they're, you know, they're super happy to have me be so active in the music industry because they all, you know, they work different kinds of jobs, you know. I'm the only one in the band who like plays in a band, but also like works in the music industry.
Oh,
So they do
awesome.
support it, which is really nice.
Oh, that's cool. So I feel like it's just like cool to know, like, oh yeah, like everyone's got your back.
It's great. Like when I send them, like I'm booking a little tour for us right now for November, and every
Nice.
time I send the update to the band, they're all really stoked on my work. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Also, I should have said, like, I know you from New Jersey. You're still based in New Jersey, correct? And then, so do you guys normally tour all over? Do you normally just tour the, you know? Okay.
Oh, we'll tour anywhere, yeah.
Nice. So everyone, stay tuned for November. It seems they're coming around. Fingers
If
crossed.
it's safe, if it's safe.
If it's safe, of course.
Only if it's
So
safe.
is there any, like, I guess kind of like, is there any favorite venues you love booking for artists that you've gotten a lot of good feedback on? And then is there any personal favorite venues you have?
That's a very good question. Let me take a look at my
Thanks.
documents here.
Thought of it myself.
we played, what was a really good show? I really like Pittsburgh a lot. There's a cool venue out there called Roboto, Mr. Roboto Project, that I've played and booked a bunch of shows at. There's, what else? Man, I'm looking at upcoming stuff. I should be looking at stuff that already happened. I don't know. I mean, I've played just like so many shows in my life. It's hard to think of a favorite. I mean, I've Starland Ballroom is a great venue to play for sure. I got to play there with a band called Modern Chemistry. We opened up a
Oh shit, no way.
it was like a Taking Back Sunday
Dude,
holiday.
I
The holiday show, the most recent one, or like not a year or two ago.
Oh, maybe, I know who they are because they played with Taking Back Sunday at their Christmas show. Like,
Yeah, the
and I
Christmas
remember.
show.
I
Oh, okay, yeah, so I played bass, so I played that show.
Oh my God, that's so
Yeah,
cool.
so
Wow.
that was a really cool show. There's just
So do
like,
you play
what
bass
else
and
was there?
guitar? Like you'll like.
Yeah, I'm mainly a guitar player, but I started on bass when I was a kid, so like it's pretty normal for me to pick up a bass. But
Nice. I feel like that's
I
why
think
we connected early on because I learned bass when I was younger, like when we first started
Oh.
talking, and I feel like I didn't go anywhere with it because I'm not very musically talented, but I tried.
All good. Yeah.
But that's cool. So Starland Bar, yeah, that's so crazy. Wow, small world.
And then I guess another one would be Man Dancing opened up for Young the Giant at
Oh
a
shit.
it was like a college show in PA, and like the stage. It was like in the basketball arena of the college, and like the stage that they had was like insane. It was like the best
Nice.
on stage sound I've ever experienced. And also Audio Tree, like in Chicago. That's a live session. It's not like an actual like show with like a crowd, but definitely one of my favorite experiences of like performing.
Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty cool. You guys played with Young the Giant.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, like early 2019. It's probably like 2 years ago.
Hey, I know. I feel like the last year went by that it doesn't even feel like it was a year. So it's like, wait,
Yeah.
2019 was kind of long ago.
Yeah, it feels weird.
Nice. Do you have any, so then same question, do you have any favorite states you love to book in that's like super easy to book? And then do you have favorite states you like to play?
Trying to think of what's honestly. The first question is so hard to answer because nothing's easy to book right
Okay.
now because of
Yeah, in
COVID.
that's true. So in a non-COVID world.
I definitely like to play in Pittsburgh, like I said. I like Atlanta a lot. I like the Carolinas. Savannah, Georgia is a really great city. What else? I should be looking at a map. Chicago is one of my favorite cities, like in the world.
So it seems like you guys are pretty like centered on the map in that region. Do you guys go west a lot?
We want to. We were, you know, we probably would have by now if COVID didn't hit, but
Didn't
that
hit.
is definitely, you know, in the
In
works
the goals.
eventually. Yeah.
Nice.
I have a
And then,
couple bands playing the West Coast, though.
nice. Do you guys, have you been to the West Coast before?
I've been to California 3 times, but I haven't
Okay.
been for touring purposes. I've been
One.
there for recording purposes.
Nice. Oh, hey, come to Cali. That's where I am.
Where are you at in Cali?
I'm in Los Angeles. I mean, Los Angeles
Oh,
is so big, so it depends like how well you know Los Angeles.
I don't.
Oh, okay, yeah. So it's just Los Angeles.
Gotcha. Yeah, let's go with that.
People always think Los Angeles is just like Hollywood or like downtown LA, people call it, but Los Angeles
Right.
is like that plus so
Like a
much more.
region, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm like in the LA area. But yeah,
Cool.
that's cool. Do you have like specific goals for each type? Like, you obviously do so much, but do you have like specific goals you're trying to hit for each one, or just always like obviously people are always trying to achieve, more and grow, but do you have certain goals for yourself set out?
Yeah. I think right now my goal is to just grow my independent agency as much as I can. And then possibly, you know, get a job offer from a larger booking agency at some point that will hopefully be able to pay me some real people money so I can have a decent life. So there's definitely that would be sick. You know, just growing with the record label that I work with, the live streaming app, if that becomes successful, I'll be working there. You know, just trying to take the things that I'm already doing, like to as high as I can take them.
Nice.
Yeah.
For the live streaming app, do you have like active live streams you have coming up or that you're excited about or that you can talk about?
So I haven't actually started to book any events with them yet.
Okay.
It's really like I'm like part of the artist relations team, so there's a couple other people, and we're in like the early adoption period. So the service isn't actually very live yet. It's still kind of like in beta, and like most of it isn't public yet.
Okay.
But the app is in the App Store, and like the basic functions are there.
Nice.
But yeah, I've just been working behind the scenes on that. So I'll be doing some stuff that's like, you know, like an indie rock virtual showcase, you know, maybe in a couple months.
Oh, that's cool. Nice. You have to keep us posted and we will promote it.
For sure. Thanks.
And then, so because like I know, like so, talking about apps, there's like that Bands in Town app, and you can like directly sometimes buy the tickets from that app. Do you think for yourself booking certain venues and shows, is there anything like that for you in like app world or not really?
You mean like about the app that I'm working for?
Yeah.
So they do like virtual events where they're like ticketed live streams, and it's all at the artist's discretion. So the artist selects how much it is, if it's they can make it free if they want. They can, you know, set a certain limit to the amount of tickets or whatever, but it's all like it's literally from free to whatever the artist sets.
Got you. Nice. I'm just trying to get more, a little more context about it.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's not like a physical ticket, obviously. It's like all in the app. So like you would like buy coins in the app and the event would cost like 10 coins or something like that.
Nice. That's cool. It's cool to know like the things that are coming. Cause you're right. I feel like the world is just so digital. Like even to my like career job is all online, like email, Excel. Mm-hmm. And like I work from home forever now. So it's like, everything is so digital.
Yep.
But it's interesting to know, like, oh wow, like the world has progressed so much from like
when we used to
like buy a ticket at the ticket booth or like wherever you had to buy tickets, and now it's like you can
now you just scan your phone when you walk up. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
So it is cool to know like where it's been to like where it's going. So I'm sure you being in so many different depths of it, that's super like inspiring, I'm assuming.
Yeah, it allows me to give good feedback to the people who make the app and like what an artist is like looking for. You know, I can provide a good opportunity to the artists that I work with, and like they can, you know, have access to, you know, the early adoption, you know, thing that I was referring to earlier, where we're like partnering with like a certain amount of artists and like trying to promote them within, you know, stuff like that. So it's definitely exciting. You know, to be like doing all these different things that connect.
Super exciting. And then so when you go on tour with your band, do you have to like bring your laptop and your phone because you're still working and your other stuff? Like, how does that work?
Yeah. I've booked a tour while being on tour before. I always bring my laptop and then I don't use it as much as I thought I was going to. But at this point in life, like everything that I do is also working remote. So like, I know that the next time I'll be touring, I'll probably be working on the road, which is fine because I welcome that. You know, there's a lot of downtime during the day while you're waiting for the show that night.
Yeah, nice. That's true. Like, you're right. Like there is like, the concert doesn't start till like 7. So you're
yeah. chilling. Yeah, trust me.
Nice. And then I guess also to that point, do you feel like, do you ever feel like it's almost like a burden in a sense? Like, oh, I'm trying to enjoy this time with my band, but I'm also having to like do something else while I'm with them.
I mean, touring is work. Let me put it that way. We're not on vacation. We're not out there living a luxurious life, especially at the level that we're at. And you know, I don't really see it as a burden just because it's like, these are the things that I want to do. So it's like when I get an email or like, I got to get on a call about something like for work, it's like about some shit that I like really want to talk about.
Yeah. So it's exciting. Like,
yeah. I'm ready for it. You know?
Nice. Do you guys have any music you want to promote? Like, obviously you can go on, like, I'm assuming Spotify and it's all there. Mm-hmm. But is there any, like, you know, are you guys working towards new music? Obviously, it's been weird years, so not sure where you guys are at. But where are you guys in that status?
Yeah, so the band Man Dancing, we put out a record back in November called The Good Sweat.
Check it out.
That one's really cool. I'm really proud of it. And we are starting now to write another album that will probably end up coming out in 2022 or 23.
Woo!
But... yeah, that one's pretty fresh. So it's less than a year old. So definitely recommend checking that out.
And then how did you guys come up with the name Man Dancing?
God, I don't even know. I wasn't in the band when they formed the name. And I'm sure that they have a story that they probably told me multiple times, but I don't want to mess it up. So I'm not even going to attempt.
No worries.
Yeah.
And then do you have like an influence in writing the songs with them? What's your guys' process?
Not lyrically, I don't write lyrics or anything, but like I write my own guitar parts and, you know, help, like we all work together on the structure of the song and the transitions and just the overall like chord choice and things like that. But usually, I mean, a lot of it has been like our vocalist and lyricist, Steve, who writes like, you know, the majority of a song or like a skeleton of a song. We all kind of add our layers to it.
Nice. Is it hard to just come, like, how is the process for you writing your parts? Like, does it just come to you? Do you have to like sit with it? Do you have to kind of put the chords together and be like, how do I do, like, where's this song going? Like, what's your process?
Yeah, there's no, thankfully there's no set process. It's always like a natural occurrence. Like either I'm like playing along and like I just think of something, hear it in your head, and you try to find it where it is on the guitar, and then it becomes the thing. Or you start with a thing and then you kind of change it and adapt it to what other people are doing over time. It's not like one way or the other. It's always something different, it's weird.
Yeah. Do you remember the first song you ever played on guitar or bass?
Probably Seven Nation Army by the White
Nice.
Stripes
That's
on
a good
bass.
one.
Yeah, that was the first thing I learned.
I learned the like obvious, easiest Deep Purple "Smoke on the Water." That was my first.
Classic, a
That's
classic.
cool. But that's cool. White Stripes, yes.
Yeah, that's a throwback for sure.
Yeah, right. Do you have like in this time where it was like super hard the last year, did you find yourself playing more, like trying to just make more parts of your like just writing guitar parts, or did you find that you really weren't like trying to do that right now because you couldn't really tour or do anything?
To be honest, the only time I was playing was when I was getting together with the band for rehearsals and stuff. And like we had gone to Chicago at the end of March to play on Audio Tree. So we rehearsed like two or three times a week for like 2 months right before we went to Chicago. So my playing was really all just like a rehearsal and maybe some noodling at home, but like I didn't really play much guitar over COVID. I wasn't like one of those people that was like, all right, I'm trapped inside, I'm gonna make music forever. Like, no, I played video games and smoked weed and just lit, got
Lived
through it
the
somehow.
COVID life. We all, but that's cool that you at least got out of it, and like you have so much going on now that it's like hopefully not, it's like in the past memory. And
Exactly.
then, is there anything else that you can talk about that in a perfect world you have coming up, you want to promote, or where people can like help support you or support what you're doing, your bands, your agency, etc.?
Sure. Yeah. The big one is Man Dancing album, The Good Sweat. Support that if you'd like.
We'll tag it.
For sure. And Pathfinder Booking, we're an independent touring agency and artist management agency. But we like have our roster of bands that we are like set with, and we work with those bands. So if you want to support that, just check those bands out and go to those shows when they come to your city.
Nice. And then, if someone wanted to, like, if they're interested in joining your agency, how would they do that?
Definitely an email with the resume, music industry experience, what their goals are. Not currently hiring any agents, but if the right person were to reach out, then that would always change. So,
Nice. So open-minded.
yeah, definitely open-minded.
Nice. And then, also, too, like, is there anything that is maybe misconceptions you've learned along the way that you would, give advice for that, think differently, or that you've just learned in experience that maybe people listening could find helpful?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty tough one, but I'll try to stay general. I think people need to like the attention span of everyone is so short these days. And I think people need to just value artists a little bit more than, and I think
Yes.
COVID's gonna bring that back because like when live music returns like at a larger capacity, I think more people are gonna, understand what they were missing, or like the concept, like you don't know what you have until it's gone kind of thing. So, definitely looking forward to a larger appreciation for just music in general and like what people like myself do. Not
Yeah,
that I
I
need
think
that, because I don't care. You know what I mean? I'm doing this because I want to,
want
or
to,
f
yeah.
that I feel the need to, but just the public perception, like not a lot of people understand, I guess what goes on.
Yeah, I agree, because I feel like I never didn't appreciate music, but now I felt like I appreciate it, like, because I never thought it would ever be taken away. Like, I went to concerts
Right.
all the time. So then it's like you think back to like, oh my God, I missed this one show that I thought wouldn't be a big deal, and now it's like the end of my world.
Right.
I don't have a year of concerts, so I
Right.
definitely. Did you have any concerts that you had tickets to go to that got postponed or canceled? Besides your own artists that you work with, but like maybe that you just wanted
No.
to go to.
I canceled 300 shows of my own, and I,
Nice.
for all the bands that I was booking for, and I don't think I had tickets to anything because I was so focused on that.
That's crazy. So that's a good point too. Like putting it in numbers like that, like you had to cancel 300 shows for people. That is bonkers to me because here I am like sorrowing in my own like, oh my God, I didn't get to go see Motley Crue. But it's like then you think of it in terms like that. And it's like, wow, like all the bands I love and friends that are in bands and all these bands trying to make it and just play their music. Wow, when you really think about it, like holy shit, 300, you had to cancel it. Like makes me feel like my
And
shit
like
ain't nothing.
and but like all the bands that like were gonna put out albums and go on tour and like they rely on touring. Like most of bands rely on touring for income, to sell merch, to meet new fans, just to get the buzz going for what they're doing. And
Yeah, because
it all got hit hard.
they say that touring is the most money maker for musicians, right? Because of their
It's because you're a traveling merch store. That's what it is. Because the profit margins in merch, that's really all it is.
So do you think it's super important for bands to like always be having merch and updating their merch?
Yeah, if you can afford to, it's expensive. Not every band has the means to do that, and that's okay. But my advice to them would be just like wait. And just be the best band you can possibly be until there's somebody there to support you enough to help you get merch, or you saved up enough money to get merch. Thankfully, like Band Dancing, we have a label at Take This to Heart, and they took care of the recording, the vinyl, the merch, all that kind of stuff. And you work hard enough, and there will be hopefully a label for you to help support you too.
Nice. Did you guys really have to seek out and ha like how do you get a label? Like what is the steps to get into the label, have a label?
I mean,
Probably a process, like a lot of nuanced process there, but
it definitely a lot of variables. It's definitely a loaded question. I mean, a record label has to see you and say, okay, is this really good? Is it something special? Does this band have a lot of potential? Are they worth investing in? Where, like, if I put $5,000 into this band, are they going to be able to sell that $5,000 worth of stuff and then some, to where we can both make 50-50, that's like the overall question, I guess. But it's a lot of the classic who and how well you pitch and how well you it's just how you submit, and like how you are connected to the label in some way, or why you feel like you're a good fit. And there's a million things.
yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Do you feel like kind of what you kind of going into what you say, like because it has to, obviously a good fit, but do you think that just the if you keep trying, like the cliche of like if you just keep trying, you keep working, like eventually it should hopefully click, or you just like there's always like don't stop until you try,
Yeah, but I mean, you have to know with a band, like you have to know if you're wasting your time, if you're really building up to something.
with something.
And that's like, the whole question really is like, is this worth all the time and effort that I'm putting into it? You see something growing and you see yourself making really good things, or cool things are happening, then keep doing it,
And then do you think because of all the different, niches you have, that just networking has come fairly easy to you? Did you really have to work on that in the beginning?
I did. I mean, I wasn't always the most social person, but over the last year or so or two, I've gotten a lot better at like networking and like branching out and like making friends within the industry, being at you know, the label and the booking agency, and, you know, just always being connected with different kinds of managers or agents or, you know, whoever, and just working with bands.
Yeah, it's just cool how like full circle your life is. Like, wow, like that's like a, like it's just such a dream, right? Like, do you feel like some days you wake up and you're like, wow, this is like, I'm living this life, who like thought?
it is kind of crazy sometimes, but I also have to remind myself that this is what I wanted, this is what I've been working hard for, and this is what I should be doing. And then, you know,
I just love when I hear people talk about their passions. It's just so like, it's fun for me to like people's passions and career paths, but it's just like when you really like talk to someone that is like doing what they really are meant to and love to do, it's just so inspiring.
Thanks.
And then I guess just to like, I know I'm taking a lot of your time, and
oh, you're good.
Considering all of the stuff you do in your life, thank you for fitting me into your schedule.
Of course, yeah.
And I'm just happy we got to like reconnect, and I got to like learn this part of your like life too, since we knew each other when we were like kids, basically.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
Do you feel like, what is your impressions, like feelings of when you went to concerts and in the crowd to then when now you're on the stage performing?
Well, I've always done both.
Yeah.
From the same age, and I definitely am so used to playing shows now that it doesn't even faze me. Like, I just get up there and play, and that's that. But I mean, I used to be, you know, the typical 16-year-old trying to squeeze the way to the front of the crowd and make eye contact with the singer and, you know, could just go crazy, try to sing every word. But now, you know, just being at hundreds, if not thousands of shows in my life, like, I've definitely chilled out a lot and tend to not even like be inside for most of the show or not be like right up front unless it's like a band I really, really love, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, that's even more of like a work environment for me now, like a show, because probably at a show because it's somebody I work with is playing.
Yeah.
And I'm probably there talking to somebody I work with. So I'm not in the front of the crowd anymore screaming, you know, I am, just a guy.
You're not just a guy, you have
cancer.
And I'm sure a lot of people that are, you know, are your fans, your band's fans, and just people you interact with are also like, you ain't just a guy, like, you're a rad dude.
Thanks. Try to keep it modest.
Yeah, I'll hype you up, don't worry.
Right on.
And then I guess just to like, is there any, so we know like you're doing so many things, they can find you on Instagram. Do you want, I'm going to tag it, but for people listening, you want to just say your different Instagrams where they can find you?
Sure. Yeah. It's all James Bauman 27. So JamesBauman 27. That's,
nice.
That's me.
And
on pretty
it'll
much
be tagged.
Everything.
And then Man Dancing's Instagram, I'm assuming is just Man Dancing.
Yep. One word. Yep. Exactly.
Nice. And then so for your agency, it's just connected to your personal Instagram, just
I have everything tagged in my personal bio, but it's the same thing at Pathfinder Booking USA.
Nice. Just want to make sure that's all clear. And then is there any just like in general, like last parting advice or last things you would just like to, you know, get out about yourself?
I would just say to anyone listening, go to shows and support new bands, because those end up being the bands that blow up, and you're going to be feeling really cool when you saw them play in a tiny place with 50 people.
Yes. Isn't that so, that's so true, because like, side note, I saw 21 Pilots before they were even known, and then now it's everyone freaking knows them.
Right.
Like,
right.
How crazy is that? So yeah, definitely support your local artists. Like, when I was in high school,
but like the good, you know, I mean, support all your local artists, but like, we all know when there's like that one band like from our state or our town that's like actually really, really good and deserves to like go for it.
It's
those bands, support those bands, please.
Yes, that's a good point, because
like,
you're right.
Like everybody, you know, if you're interested, start a band, try it, do it. But it's like, if you've been out here grinding for years, and like your band is so sick and like you need the support, like show that band the support, you know, they've been working hard. That's how I feel, you know.
Yeah, and it's like you're right, like you new bands, you never know who's gonna be that next band or who's gonna reach a bit. And also just like support the rock scene in general because we need help
Yeah,
over
we're
here.
dying. Yeah,
Yeah,
exactly.
like I don't know, like the rock scene, it's never dead, it's still alive and kicking, but for the
Oh,
people
yeah.
here, but
I
yeah,
get it.
support your bands, guys.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. I really appreciate you telling your story and learning about you. Like,
Of
super.
course. Thanks for having me. It was really cool.
Yeah. And it's funny, I also told Nick Spiller, shout out to that episode, that if you guys ever want to come back or you want to have the band come on, would love to have you guys come back. Or you and just you in general come back too.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. So, well, have a good rest of your day. Have a magical day, everybody. Thanks so much.
Cool. Thanks, Brandy. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.